Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. We're here live. It's just a little after 7, not that too much, but it's Friday, and it's December 9th, so counting down. You got right about 2 weeks till Christmas, so, you know, tomorrow's the 10th and 14 days, 24th, so there you go, boom. You got about one more hard week of running, and then you got to see about getting home. I don't know about everybody else, but I enjoy going home for Christmas. Everybody has a great time. We all get together, eat a lot of food, sweets. I got a big sweet tooth, so I like to get out there and the fudge and the coconut cake, all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah. So give us a holler, 515-602-9731. That's our phone number to call in. This is a call-in radio show. All things trekking and then some, Redneckinize Radio Live. Yeah, we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time when we can. We Redneckinize a small group of truckers, and we got together, try to promote common sense education to the trucking industry and the general public. And, you know, that's what it is. We're just a group of truckers having a good time. So we try to get out there and get the information to drivers the best we can to figure out, you know, what can we do to make the industry better. And I try to get on here and find out what the news is or what's going on in the industry and things like that. And I tell you what, it's been happening now for the last 6 months here that we've seen just a push for more, I don't know. I mean, everybody's going electric. Of course, that's in the media, right? Cars electric, trucks might be electric. Tesla just said that they just completed a 500-mile trip on their big truck pulling 80,000 pounds or something like that. And it's like big deal, man. It's 500 miles and you're all celebrating. Yeah, that's great. So now plug it in and start the new day, you know, and you only got 500. So they're saying that they're making trucks. One truck will go 300 miles. And if you upgrade to the best truck, the good truck, it'll go 500 miles. And, all the other truck drivers are like, what about the other 30% of the day? Because when you got to, you know, it's like the trip's 500 miles, and now I just, now I got to get to the truck stop. Oh, well, got to plug it in now. So you're not exactly able to go 500 miles, right? You go 400 because you're going to have to run around and do all the parking and maneuvering and all that, right? But that's, you know, hey, that's fine. But then we started talking about technology, like self-driving trucks, you know, and all the big hoopla with all that, and they're testing them, and they're, and, you know, even, you know, there's actually some scientists that are looking into, you know, the benefits and the pros and cons of all this. There's a associate professor for information science at Cornell University. Her name is Karen Levy. She's a sociologist, and what it is I guess her biggest thing is she looks at, like, you know, the world and how people are affected by it, you know, I guess society, social, I don't know, but her biggest drive here in the last 20 years has been truck driving, and she just released a book, and it's called Data Driven: Truckers, Technology, and the New Workplace Surveillance. And she actually just, the whole book is about just the whole concept of the industry going to this, you know, you're a driver, but now we can keep track of you 24/7. You know, used to, you join the become a driver so nobody would bug you. You know, nobody's looking down your shoulder. You had more control of your day. You had more control of where you go and that kind of stuff. No, you don't do that no more. And she actually, like I said, wrote this book, and it just came out just Tuesday. And so, and of course, this article was on TheVerge.com, which is more of a technology website. And then she also got interviewed by OIDA, which is all great and everything. But also what I did, I went on YouTube to try to find out more information about this professor. And she actually did a little seminar back in, I think it was August or April. And it was about, it's called Robo Truckers. And I guess that's the title of her last chapter in the book. And it's the double threat of AI and low wages. And what it is that she's talking about autonomous trucks and about how there's technology out there that they're working on. And then the companies are trying to figure out how can they implement it into the system. And of course, there's only certain ways that can be done. Autonomous trucks, nobody really likes complete autonomous. Of course, nobody likes complete man truck drivers either. But so they said, what can we do? Well, first off, they want to do it like they're trying to do it now with all the cars. The truck driver's in the seat driving, but there's certain parts of it where the driver can kind of, you know, the driver's still there. It's just that the truck's doing most of the work, and the driver's only there for, you know, problems or, you know, traffic and, you know, getting to the city and all that. And she actually had some studies that she posted on her seminar where the scientists have, and all of the experts have figured out that that's not really the best way to go, because when somebody is in a job and it's become more automated and more stuff has been automated, so basically the human being has only got to be there in case a problem arises. So basically they're saying that the human being is just supposed to stand there or sit there for a problem, and the machine just does everything else, and you still have to have a person there just in case. And they say that more problems are not being solved because the human being is incapable of solving problems when the person is just sitting there waiting for the problem. Because it takes you longer to react because you're not really paying attention to what's going on. And then all of a sudden the problem, well, now you got to assess. You got to like quickly say, oh, my God, something happened. What happened? And you got to figure it out. And they're saying that's not working. That actually a truck driver going down the road driving the truck can react like 3 times faster than a truck driver sitting in the truck, letting the truck do all the work. And then a problem comes up, you know, what do you do? And that person, it takes them 3 times longer to respond and correct than it does a driver just driving down the road. So they threw out that out the window. So then they're saying, well, then there's got to be a way to put autonomous trucks out there on the road. And then they just go from point A to point B. And then you've got local drivers driving in, like, you know, to the spot. And this is, we've seen this a lot too, where if you're on a turnpike or a toll road and you've got these turnpike doubles, which is two long trailers attached to each other, and one truck's pulling them on the highway, he can't maneuver that truck and trailer in the city or to the actual destination. So they pull off onto a little gravel lot, drop one trailer, take it on, and another driver's either waiting on them to pick the other trailer up, or they come back and get the other trailer. So you got this little area. So that they're talking about putting autonomous trucks parking in this parking lot, and then local drivers come in and pick up the trailers and take them to their customers and everything. And the problem is there's no infrastructure for that, because you have to have parking lots set aside off the highway where they can have the computer easily drive to and from these points. And there's nothing set up like that. It takes a lot of money. And the only people that were saying, hey, we can do this is Uber, because they were trying to match local drivers with the freight, and that was their goal and everything. Well, they weren't making any money, and they weren't getting any investors, so they scrapped the project, and nobody really picked that up. So that's done. So the only third option that they have decided to go with, and which is what we have more and more today, and it's getting worse and worse, is basically the robo-trucker, where we're going to put a driver in the truck, and that truck's going to have all the bells and whistles that makes it easier for them to keep track of that driver so they can keep that driver awake, whether it's lights flashing in the driver's eyes, vibrating seats, speakers making sounds, you know, lane departure warning, you know, monitors where they can, I didn't realize this, but there's companies out there that are currently testing out on the road cameras that are looking at the driver, and the computer will know whether or not that driver is tired. They're recognizing facial expressions in the software to see whether or not the driver is tired and all that. And then they even have, we talked about this, and she mentioned this in the interview that she did with The Verge, and it was caps, like hats, that drivers wear while driving, and it actually detects brainwaves, and they know whether or not the driver's tired or distracted and all that stuff. And she put out a cartoon. I went on here to see if I can find this cartoon she's referring to, and it's a drawing of a driver. It's like a cartoon image of a driver, and it's got everything that you can imagine that you could strap to the driver to keep that driver awake. And just like we talked about it, just instead of allowing the driver and training the driver and allowing the driver to judge for themselves whether or not they're tired and whether or not they're rested and all that, it's like we're just going to strap everything to that truck driver to keep them awake, and we'll tell them when they're tired. Because, you know, and that's what ELD started with. You know, the CEO of Swift came out when ELDs first came out, and he said, this is awesome because we figured it out that no longer do we rely on the driver to tell them when he's done for the day. We know when the driver is done for the day, and we can say, hey, you just got done with a run. You still got some time left. Go out there and work some more, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, truck drivers don't like that because the one thing that you – the reason why you became a truck driver is because if I wanted to work 12 hours one day, I could. If I only was able to work, you know, 3 to 4 hours in one day, I could. You know, it was one of them things where you were in more control. So, but yeah, it's getting more and more like that where we're no longer. Yeah, here it is. Pull that up here. But yeah, we're no longer able to control what we see and whatnot and that kind of stuff. What is this here? Oh yeah, okay, this is pretty good here. I might check this out. Yeah, I think this is her presentation. So yeah, this cartoon was actually published in the Landline magazine, and it has all the stuff they attach, like heart rate monitor, vibrating butt warmer, eyeball monitor, radar GPS headgear, infrared goggles. It says steering simulators on the hands. It's got like cuffs on the wrist, I guess, to keep your muscles moving, steering the wheel, and leg shockers. Yep. And it's kind of like we've created this. I mean, I can see that. I was making the analogy because I was watching a new TV show. This TV show just came out on Showtime where it's talking about George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And it started with George Jones. He's drunk. He's just passed out in the stall of the bathroom backstage at the Grand Ole Opry, and he can't walk. He can't stand up. So the band and all the promoters and everybody, they need him out there. He's like, get out there. Everybody's waiting on you. You know, they're chanting and all that. So they stand him up and they take duct tape and they tie it around his knees so that they lock his knees in the straight position so he can stand up. And then he waddles out there and he can barely stand, and he goes out there and he performs. And it's like, that's what they're doing to truck drivers. It's like, get out there, get in the seat, and we'll make sure you stay awake, you know, with all the stuff. And if you don't, if you do have a problem, you know, and she actually, the professor, in some of her Q&As that she did, they were asking questions about, you know, what can be done as far as like who's to blame and who's actually getting told that this is bad and everything. And she's like, well, nobody's getting told that they're doing anything wrong. You know, the companies are just doing it, and there's no government oversight or whatever. And worst off is that it's completely the driver's responsibility. So whenever there's an accident, I mean, and actually one of the students that was in this seminar actually pointed out that you see more and more where the drivers are the ones, you know, if the truck driver was the one who actually had the accident and hurt somebody, you know, although that driver might have been pushed or might have been undertrained or whatever, the driver's name and picture is all over the news as that's the person. I remember the Colorado driver, he was from Houston, and he shouldn't have been, he didn't have that much experience, and he was already out there. He was like driving for less than 6 months, and he was coming down the mountain there, and it wasn't, I don't even know if they know if the truck actually failed, but it was one of those things where it wasn't one of those big companies. It was a small trucking company, which a lot of these guys, sometimes their maintenance records aren't that good. So talk about, you know, brakes failing or poor maintenance and all that. And that's what happens. You know, just get out there and go. Just go. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, we see that in big companies too. So, yeah. So that's what we've been talking about the last couple of days, and it's been pretty interesting. I'm going to get more and more into this. I'm going to try to get that book read. And then she pointed out in one of her seminars that I listened to, there's other books that are – there's two – she says there's another scientist that have been researching trucking. So looking forward to that. And yeah. So give us a holler, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live, and we're here, like I said, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll talk it out and see what you got to say about it. Let's go to it. What do we got? This is Mr. Jeff. What's going on, bud?
Well, hey, buddy. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I tell you. Something else. It's nice and warm down here. It got up to 80 today.
Oh, man, I tell you what. I've been driving in crap. Rain and cold and rain and... So, just kind of interesting. Got a load today. I picked up FedEx in Indianapolis, taking it to Omaha. And from the broker that we got the load from, I got a text that says, "Download Trucker Tools."
Oh, okay.
I'm going, that's kind of interesting. All right. It said, "Download Trucker Tools to get your trailer number." And I'm thinking, not what I like doing, but okay, whatever. I already got trucker tools. And, but I thought it was funny. I got the FedEx and gave them my pickup number. And they said, "Here's your sheet, here's your trailer number, and here's your seal number." I go, "Oh, what the hell I need trucker tools for?"
Yeah, no
So
kidding.
I went ahead and I ended up taking them my location, shutting off the location for trucker tools, but I see that they got, I don't know if it's new or they must have some type of a system like that Rakuten does, where you buy certain merchandise at certain places and say and go through the trucker tools app, you must get build up points, and I don't know what the points are for. I don't know if you get cash back or what the hell the points are for.
Well,
you know anything about it?
No, I mean, I know that what it is looks like when you do. I mean, I guess if you do buy, I mean, it looks like you can not only. Yeah, it's like you could purchase stuff and get rewards, but then you also redeem rewards to the same locations. So
Okay.
So it's like if you use the app and it's like you got Chipotle, you got Blimpy, you got Cinemark or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, and then you buy it here. So like this one here, it says
what?
500 points. It says sip into Dunkin' Don't enjoy it. Goes click on the redemption URL. See, it says save. That's what I'm trying to figure out is that it says, yeah, okay, then the resulting page will contain the e-gift card number and PIN as well as the redemption instructions. Okay, so this is redemption.
Well, evidently, the app tracks either that you're actually at that location or I'm gonna try it because I use DoorDash sometimes. You know, you're sitting at a truck stop, and God, I get so tired of eating McDonald's and Subway. You know, that if I want to be there extended period of time, I'll get on DoorDash and have them bring me out a, you know, I don't know, spaghetti or some dinner that's Kentucky Fried or something that I can't get where I'm at, you know?
Exactly.
And hell, if you go through DoorDash and get points on that, you know, kind of offsets the, a lot of those DoorDashes, there's a zero delivery charge. And then you go through it all, and they got another charge called, like a service charge for using them. And, okay. DoorDash is going to make a little money, but the, I don't know. So if you make points on that, it helps offset that a little bit. So I just kind of found that interesting. I hadn't seen that on Trucker Tools before.
Yeah, there's several deals on here, and it's what it is it's actually an e-gift card. So you're getting when you use the deal to get the points, you purchase a gift card for someplace, and then get the points,
okay.
And then you. So,
well, you know, I know they're one of our sponsors, so I thought, well, you know, might as well bring that up because that's kind of an added benefit that really wasn't there before.
Yeah, this is different. Yep, I'm definitely to dive into that a little bit more because it's got all the different stores like Redbox and Spotify and PlayStation, and then what do you call?
Yeah.
There's NFL right there. I just pulled it up, and it says Lobster Graham. I don't know what that is. There's Kroger, Albertsons, Safeway, Kansas City Steaks. Well, there you go. See, so there you go. You buy a gift card to Kansas City Steak, and they send you the steaks, and you get 5,000 reward points. And then once you get the reward points in the app, you redeem them for stuff out on the road.
For another coupon and go back to Kansas City Steak.
Well, no, or anything. It's
yeah.
The points can be transferred. You're not subject to whatever, you know. It's like once you purchase something. So like right now, what it looks like here, you can go in here and you could pay for all your subscriptions through the app. Like you could buy Hulu or you know, your Fitbit stuff. Yep, and different things like that. So see, here's Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts, a $25 gift card. And it just says click on the redemption URL.
Hmm.
But I'm not real sure.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I just wanted to bring it up because I know they're a sponsor, you know, and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of a neat little program they started there, it looks
yes.
like. Getting back to those electric trucks. I was talking to a farmer the other day, and I guess there's going to be coming down in 2023, there's going to be some, egg allowances that if you go electric on a farm, and they said, you know, like discounts on combines and that. That farmer,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he says they could damn near give you a combine. Because if you're going to go electric to farm, you're going to have to buy two more just to do a day's work.
Wow.
You know, because a farmer's lot, you know, they're not regulated by logs like truck drivers are. So a lot of these farmers in, you know, harvest time, when it's harvest time, they're at it from morning, you know, from day, you know, sun up till past sundown, you know, they work 14-hour days. Sometimes they trade off drivers, and yeah, that combine just goes during harvest time.
Well, yep, that's right.
You know, a combine, he says, yeah, you trucks, you just got an engine to drive you. He said, a combine, you got an engine to run. You got all the augers, all the every component on that thing runs off that motor. He says it takes a lot of fuel to make a combine work. He says, can you imagine how much battery power that it would take to run a combine? And then he always, you know, one of the things they always said about farming is soil compaction. That's why you see a lot of these combines with these great big dual tires on them or Caterpillar tracks and that thing. And that's so it doesn't compress the soil. They say if you over-compress soil, it's harder for the seed, you know, the seed extracts too much energy trying to bust through the ground that takes away from the yield of the crop. So now you're going to go add in these great big heavy-ass batteries to make a combine run. He says it's just plain silly what they're talking about.
Yeah, you'd have to have twice as many tires on the ground to keep the weight off.
Yeah.
And that just means more tires just means more money.
Well, and how do you make tires? Takes fossil fuels to make rubber, I do believe.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing with the electric cars. Even they're talking, you know, I don't know if you remember, they came out a couple years ago. It was several years back. They said that the amount of energy that it takes to get all of the materials necessary to make an electric car is just as much energy as a regular gas-powered car emits in like 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you buy a brand new gas powered car and use it for 10 years, you would have emitted enough CO2 or whatever, you know, carbon based energy out into the atmosphere as it takes to get all the nickel out of the ground and platinum and to make all those fancy batteries and produce that and all that, and that's it's you know, it takes a lot of work to get that stuff. And you're talking about, you know, the just like when Tesla, you know, they get this huge plant that they're building cars and even they're saying they're building some trucks out here in Austin. And it's, you know, it's like, I mean, I've been by there. It's like 5 or 6 football fields of building, you know, and it's out there in out there on the toll road out in Austin. And it's like, so how much energy did it cost to build that building? Look at how much fossil fuels and natural resources it took to build that building. And here you're talking about, you know, oh, it's going to be great for the environment. All I see is a building. it's like that's not environment.
Exactly.
That's a building, you know. I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, and then now they're talking about there was a news report here locally here in the Corpus Christi area that Tesla is going to have a plant or warehouse here in the area because they're going to import when they import the materials like the nickel, the batteries that they're manufacturing, they're going to have some kind of warehouse or factory here to help make the batteries. Cause I guess they're going to, when they start importing stuff, you know, it's got to be by the water.
Yeah.
So that, cause where it's all coming off the ships. And, here, when they get the big bridge built over here by the harbor, they're going to make the harbor bigger, which they're going to start bringing in more ships. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, because Corpus Christi, they have figured out, is a more reliable port than L.A. is.
Oh, yeah.
Or the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, like Houston's just booming with freight and ships because it's in order to deal, like, of course, we saw it, in the news and everything, Long Beach is getting overrun. But not only that, it's expensive. If you're a ship wanting to unload your product and it's going to, you know, the United States of America, it's cheaper to go all the way down to Panama from China, go all the way down to Panama, go through the Panama Canal, come back up, go into the Gulf of Mexico and unload at Houston or Brownsville or New Orleans and do that because you're in a certain area or a centralized, more of a centralized point where you can, and then the trains run through here all the time and, you know, all that stuff. So
yeah.
I mean, they got it figured out. We saw Jacksonville's port's massive now, Savannah, Georgia's port's massive now. What do you call it? Charleston, South Carolina. It's massive now. They've expanded that port. So these big, like Long Beach and, you know, San Francisco or Miami, you know, they ain't nothing now, you know, and those are the ones that they're all unionized. And so everybody's like, no, I ain't done doing that. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
We got one of our fans on YouTube. He's running the ports out of Virginia Beach over there. So, you know, that's what he's doing, or Norfolk, you know, that's what he's doing. So it's everywhere, man. It's shipping containers everywhere. And that was what the professor was talking about, you know, with trucking, is that our society is not going to go away soon with consumption. We're always going to want stuff. And, you know, she's like, she was like talking about Amazon, and she's like, I've got 5 things ordered through Amazon right now. And like, you know, some of them, I'm like, where are they at? I need them. You know, and all that. So it's like, we're all doing it. You know, we're all doing it. So we all got to have stuff, and there's always trucks doing that. So she's definitely pointing out some key things that normally just, you know, like me and Greg were talking about it, the trucking industry just simply has gone away with taking care of its people. You know, the industry itself is just controlled by lawyers and the Wall Street, where it's all about go, 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 and cover our ass. And if you do anything wrong, it's your butt, you know. So that's what we see nowadays. So
but I got one. You know, you were saying earlier on the autonomous trucks that, you know, that the human can react faster than what the computer can.
Well, so yeah,
you know,
what
like
it is
avoidance and.
Yeah, so what it is, what they're saying is that if the computer's doing all the work and you're just sitting there waiting for something bad to happen, when something bad happens, it takes you longer to react because you're not paying attention. See, they said driving the truck and actually driving the truck with nobody helping them, they react faster because they're already involved in what's going on. You know,
all right? Because I'm just saying with this truck, I got, you know, accident avoidance on this, and there's been times where I don't know if I, you know, was looking at my mirror with something happened in front of me, but as I looked at my mirror, the truck reacted to what was going ahead of me, and I thought, oh God, thank God I had that on there, you know, because it gave me a heads up, it gave me a little slowdown or a, you know, something like that. I wasn't as far enough away, but.
But you are,
you know, react.
Yeah, but you already in control. I mean, it's not like what she's talking about.
Right.
Is she's talking about completely autonomous, like the truck's doing everything, and you're just sitting there waiting. That's what their goal is. The one of the goals that they wanted was the truck does all the work and the driver's just there. It's kind of like when we see autonomous trucks now. They in the news, they're saying these autonomous trucks are going down the highway. What they don't tell you is that there are three people in the truck, one engineer, and then one driver that's sitting there waiting for something bad to happen in the convoy of, you know, wreckers and all that to make sure everything's going. And that's what it is that the goal is to integrate where the truck can do most of the work and the driver's still sitting there. And they said that's not really working because the driver's react time is actually slowing, just like you're saying.
I go along with that because this truck here sees ahead of me 635 feet.
Yeah. I mean, my truck does the same thing,
you know.
And a lot of times it's one of those things like you're saying. I mean, even when I am just going down the road and not really, you know, I'm not seeing that far ahead, so I'm not worried about stuff that far ahead. The computer, the truck is. So like on the following distance thing, you know, I've got the cruise set. So if I'm going down the road and I've got the cruise control and I'm, like you're saying, you just shifting your eyes, moving from mirror to mirror and all that, you know, but the truck starts slowing down And I'm like wondering, like, what's going on? There's no brake lights. What's going on? And what it's doing is the truck, the vehicle way up in front of you is not going that fast, and the truck is already starting to slow down.
So on your company truck, can you adjust how many seconds you want between the vehicle in front of you and you?
On the Volvo, we can, but I'm not real sure if I can do that on the Freightliner.
Okay.
And you know, it's funny too, because on the Volvo, when you do have any kind of like lane departure warning or following distance warning, like it goes beep 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 beep, you know, if you got too close to a vehicle,
right,
the radio shuts off, you know, lights flash, all that. In the Freightliner, it just beeps. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't turn the radio off or whatever.
I shut my beeper off. I can shut my beeper off, and then I can choose between 2.4 seconds and 3.6 seconds, anywhere in between there, how much distance I want and the follow distance.
I mean, I haven't played with a lot of the – I haven't been in a Freightliner. The new Freightliner we got, I haven't been in it long enough to play with all the stuff on the dash, but it's you got to go into the settings and everything. But on the Volvo, the following distance selection is on the steering wheel. There's actually a button. And if you push it once and it comes up, and then you use a little toggle on the steering wheel, and you can go further out or closer in, and it's on the steering wheel. You know.
Mine is on my Freightliner too.
Okay. Yeah. Because this one here, I think the only thing on the left is all radio controls or anything like, or it has the dash controls, and then the left, the right side of the steering wheel is the lights and the cruise control. Which is awesome, you know. I'm going down the road holding the steering wheel, and if I want to change the cruise, I can do it on the steering wheel. The other thing too is if somebody passes me or I pass them, my thank you lights are on the steering wheel, and my headlight flashes is on the steering wheel. So when somebody flashes me their high beams to slide over, I get mad at them because I'm like, you're in a new truck, you don't have to do that.
That's right. No, that's why. That's one thing I like about this truck, too. Just about all my settings, everything I need is right within either the left thumb or right thumb.
Yeah, that's true. You know, volume control, everything, you know. So,
Everything. Yep. I can change radio stations from the steering wheel.
Yep, that's right. Yep. I can't remember. I don't think. Yeah. See, there hasn't been, I know what you're talking about with the reaction deal. You know, because I mean, there's been situations where I've seen the there was a stop up ahead. Like you see it, you see trucks coming to a stop, brake lights are on and everything like that, and I shut the cruise off, so I'm kind of just coasting. I'm not really braking that hard because I'm well ahead of them. Or, you know, got plenty of room. And as I get closer, I'm still going a little faster than probably the computer wants me to. So the computer's like, like that, you know, and it's like, dude, I'm good. You know, they're like the computer. I mean, I've even had it where the computer's actually
I had one the other day where all of a sudden the cars in front of me come to a complete stop. And you're right. I had it and I was falling. I used the brake and I was reacting, but man, I mean, when everything stops in front of you that quick, the computer was reacting before I could get my foot up. It was braking. It was doing. I think the truck was in full, you know, air brake, and I think it was applying disc brakes. I mean, it had collision. It said collision, and the light turned, the dash turned red. And I mean, it was braking. Well, I went ahead and added to the brake along with it, but I noticed as I hit the foot feet, it was already being depressed down. I had to catch up with the foot feet. It was a pedal.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, the computers will do. I mean, I've had to do that where, like I was saying, I'm in control. Everything's fine, but the truck's like, no, you're not. And it does it by itself because it doesn't know what you're doing. It knows what you're not doing. You don't have your foot hard on the brake, and they see the car up ahead not moving, and all that. But it's like, you know,
that's why the insurance companies gives me a break, because I got this style of truck. And I can understand why, because the truck is reacting and doing everything it can to avoid having an accident.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say that's bad about it is, as a company driver, as soon as I had that happen. I'm letting the truck slow down, but the computer says I'm not slowing down fast enough. And of course, my vision is that I've got two other lanes that are open that I can move into. And that's what I was in the process of, moving into the other lane. Everything's fine. The computer just didn't sense that that the vehicles had cleared my path. So it jammed on the brakes. Now, when the computer jammed on the brakes, okay, at that time, a instant message or a report was sent to the company to let them know that this happened, right?
Yeah.
So then
they call you on it, not
right at the moment, but a couple of weeks down the road, you know, they got to pull the camera up and they got to do all this investigating. And they told me, they said, you know, we don't like that when that happens and all that like that. And I said, but I mean, what happened? And they're like, computer just sent a deal. They don't really want to tell me that everything was fine. They never told me that everything I did was okay. They just said, don't do that. That's what they said.
All right.
And so basically what it is the, like, just like what the professor is talking about, is that now I have to change my driving habits to suit the computer.
And that's true.
Yeah. Because if the computer doesn't like what I'm doing, then the company doesn't like
what I'm doing. That scares me with this.
Yeah.
I've noticed this truck one time, you know, if everything's still working in bad weather, but I have possible black ice on the road, and every once in a while, this will see an overpass and think it's a obstruction.
Yeah.
So it'll tap on the brakes.
Yeah. And
so what happens if I'm on black ice and it's reacting and I go into a skid because the computer was wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That's the only thing that scares me about this truck.
I haven't had the brakes react, but I've had the sensor go off. So like you're saying, if there's some kind of light reflecting off the road or some kind of deal that, you know,
yeah.
It's like I said, I go under a bridge and the computer also did, you know, like some kind of collision deal, but it's like a split second that it, like,
yep.
In my instance, it was a split second of a me, but it didn't jam on the brakes or anything. It just, I guess it was like there and gone. And the funny thing is the other driver was telling me that he kept getting a sensor. Like it kept saying beep, 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 beep. I mean, he said every about 5 or 10 miles, it would beep, 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 beep like that. And I was like, what's the problem? Come to find out, when they installed the license plate, it was installed incorrectly and it was interfering with the sensor.
Well, and then the other thing I found out when I first got this truck, it had to, it kind of like learn itself what the highway looked like. You know, they had all these sensors built in and the cameras, and if I was running the right lane, the beam was catching steel road signs and saying, oh, collision. I go, no, it's a fucking road sign. You know? And now 300,000 miles later, it says, oh, that's just a road sign. I think these computers, you know, have a learning mechanism in it. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't get it near as often. But my buddy of mine, he drives a Peterbilt, and he says, well, his sensor don't read just metal objects. He says it'll read like a shadow. Well, he says my Peter. He says that one model Peterbilt I had, it was always going off. And Peterbilt says, yeah, we got a glitch. We don't know how to fix it. It's like, oh great, you got all your these trucks, new trucks on the road, and you got a glitch, but you don't know how to take care of it. So, kind of scary. But
yeah,
like I said, I wouldn't give up my new truck for nothing. So.
I mean, everything's great. The only thing I don't like, I guess the radio that they installed in this truck I'm driving, it's not a very good radio. You know what it does? It locks up. It freezes to operate as it is right there. You can't change anything. So like every now and then it'll just freeze up to where it won't change. The volume won't work.
Really?
The off button won't work. It'll stay on. Even when you shut the truck off, it'll stay on. And it's like something to do with the start or whatever. But so like if I've got my Bluetooth hooked up to it, I want to listen to the radio, I can't do that. It won't change. The volume, I can't turn. And then if I'm listening to something, like, you know how when you're in on your phone and one of the apps is playing louder than the other, you want to turn the,
right.
So I have to adjust the volume on my phone because the radio volume doesn't work. And it's like, so I'm like, man, what the hell? Yeah. So every now and then that happens and it's like frustrating. And I was in some other trucks and it never did it on those trucks. So this one radio, they said there's something in there locking it up. And what can you do? Cause every time you take it to the shop, there's nothing wrong with the radio. So it's like,
is that Delphi?
It might be. It's a Freightliner radio. It's the radios, you know, those stock radios they put in the Freightliner. So whatever radio it might be, but it's, you know, they.
God,
I know that this is
somewhere.
Yeah, something. So yeah, that's the only thing. Everything else, like you're saying, everything else works great. There's, in fact, there's always something wrong with our trucks because I don't know what drive. Explain to me how drivers break AC vents. How do you break an AC vent? How do you, I mean, it's got little slits and there's a little tab on there.
Yeah,
and you grab it with your fingers and you slide it back and forth and you open it and close it. Or you want to point it in one direction or point it in the other direction. How do you break that? How does that break?
I don't know.
You know, there's three fins there, right? They're all moving in sync with each other. How does one fin completely come out? It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think that's the difference of running a slip seat truck. Because you
I'm
know,
telling
my,
you,
I don't remember the, I don't remember the last time that I even touched the vent. Once I got it set to what I like it, I don't touch it no more.
That's true. That's very true. I tell you what, you know, you're talking about things that I haven't had in a while is being able to come into a truck and have everything's already where it's supposed to be every night.
Well,
first thing I do.
Which vent was broke? Was it the one on the left side, next to the window?
No, it was the one. So in this Freightliner, there's two. There's one on each side of the dash of the
right.
instruments, and then there's one over here by on the corner on the right. By the
right.
You know, that one was broke.
Well, maybe that's where he had his foot.
Probably. Yeah. You're probably right about that. Yeah.
You know, I just don't. That's something that I guess drives me more batty than having an automatic truck are these idiots that's got their feet up on the dash.
Are you mad because they're lazy or are you mad because you can't do that and they can?
Well, I mean, if my legs were short enough, maybe I could do it. But no, I'm mad because you know, in case of something happening or a steer tire blowout, how fast are you going to get your feet off the dash to control? Well, just to control yourself in the seat. You know, your two feet on the floor helps control your posture and your control of the truck with your butt in the seat. When your butt's, how you got your feet up in the air like that, you ain't got your butt's not even in the seat.
Right.
So I don't know. That's
it's crazy.
Me.
Oh yeah, no, it gets me. It gets me too.
Beat on the dash, yep. And your hand, your phone on your hand. You're playing a video game, going down the road, holding their cell phone.
Yep. Well, I mean,
I know you got. I know you got lane avoidance. I know you got crash collision.
But
you don't
still,
have anything that warn you that a steer tire is going to blow.
What do you call the other night? I mean, you know the company I work for. I swapped the trailer with the guy when he got out of the truck to unhook his trailer, and I got out of my truck. He was wearing his pajamas. You know.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell, man.
Now, that goes back to bonehead truckers.
Yep, that's it. Super trucker
starter. The guys getting out of their trucks wearing a G-string and flip-flops, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Well,
whatever.
That's about it.
But I'm old school. So, so you did go about an hour, thanks to me, huh?
Yep.
No, I just hadn't called in for a while, and I did not want to wait this long to pick up this trailer, but I was forced to. And I'm trying to get home for Christmas, so anyway, Merry Christmas to you, Ed, and everybody, if anybody else is listening on here.
Yeah, you too, bud. So,
all right.
Well, I mean, you still got 2 weeks, so, you know.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You still got
2 weeks.
Okay.
Good deal.
I know it, but I got my dad's side of the family Christmas on Sunday.
There you go. So, sounds good, man. All right. Well, we'll still
doing
it.
I don't like driving this time of year anyway. The only reason I'm out here is I got one or two payments left on the truck, and then I'll have it paid for.
Oh, there you go.
So
good deal. Then you become one of those RV summertime truckers right there.
Yeah, I can work when I want to. I don't have to worry about truck payment or nothing because I'll be 100% debt free.
Well, there you go. See, and that so that means that Greg and Tiffany are listening, then they can count on you to be at whatever truck show they need you to be at.
Yeah. I'm ready. I tell you what, I'm kind of ready to go to one that isn't close to a airport that I can put the drone up in the air and have some fun with it.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing.
You know?
Yep. You might have to make some plans to come down to Houston when we do that show. I mean, we're not going to do – I don't know if we'll do anything, but, I mean, I went to the Texas truck show in Houston, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. So, you know, I
– But it can't be next to any major airports because it won't even take off. But I got back into droning. I bought me a set of goggles now that makes it look like I'm in the cockpit.
Uh-oh. That'd be interesting.
All right.
Cool deal.
Oh, it is.
All right, man.
It's like IMAX in front of you. It's cool. All right. Talk to you later.
All right, now. Take it easy. Good deal.
All right. Bye.
Good deal. Well, let's go wrap it up here. Appreciate everybody listening along and following everything. Let's see. Go back over here to do that. There you go. And we appreciate everybody listening. Like I said, this is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a holler, 515-29731. And we got to talking about things. So special thanks to all of our sponsors. We talked about Trucker Tools. Trucker Tools. We'll dive into some more of its features and everything. And we'll see about getting somebody from Trucker Tools on here to explain more about this reward program that's going on. But that's Trucker Tools. You can check out more information about them at truckertools.com or download their app from your app store. Wherever you get your apps, it's Trucker Tools. That's the app for truckers. And don't forget, with special thanks to DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And also Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate all their support. You can get links to all of those websites on our website, redneckandeyes.com, where you can also find links to our social media accounts, like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but also YouTube. We appreciate everybody subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's been a great success doing that and making great videos. We got some videos on there that are directed to the four-wheeler on how to drive around big trucks, and we're super excited about that. Our most watched video on there is just me simply explaining the inner axle differential. That's it. The second most watched is me talking about lease purchase and the pitfalls, pros and cons of lease purchase. So check out those videos on YouTube. Appreciate you subscribing to YouTube. And we'll, like I said, we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, except when we're not, because we're doing other things. But, hey, that's the way it goes. This is the life of the truckers, and we do what we can to help out the drivers when we can. So check them out, RedneckAndEyes.com. Appreciate everybody supporting us along here. And you guys stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at RedneckAndEyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.